I'm Kathy Gordon. I'm a certified instructor of Hand in Hand, and I've been, I'm a single adoptive mom of a 15 and a half year old. He was born here in Los Angeles. He's been with me since he was 10 days old. So I'm his mom, have always been. And and we live here in Los Angeles. And I discovered Hand in Hand when my son was about five. We were really struggling with bedtime and tantrums around bedtime. And I won a consultation with Patty, actually. And it really changed my parenting. It changed my relationship with my son, changed my life. And I've been a teacher of one thing or another all my adult life. So it was sort of natural that I was like, oh, I'd really like to teach this. So I've been a certified instructor since summer of 13. I teach a starter class. I moderate the parent club, and I just love of this work. It's really transformed my little family, and I really love bringing it to parents. And to tell you a little bit about more about Hand in Hand, we are, because I'm going to just do this little introduction as people are kind of coming on, then we'll get into the meat of our discussion today. I'm going to talk maybe for about 20 minutes and then open it up to questions and hopefully be able to take as many questions as we can. To tell you a little bit about Hand in Hand, we are a U.S.-based public benefit organization, and we help parents when parenting gets hard. We bring you good information, tools, and lots of support for this vital work of parenting. There's four main ideas behind the hand-in-hand approach, and then we have four parent-to-child listening tools and one parent-to-parent-to-support tool. So our main ideas are that parents need and deserve support for the emotional challenge of parenting, and we can build that support and have much more success meeting both our own needs and our kids' needs. And secondly, our children are born to feel connected with us. The sense of connection is what they need in order to learn, to build friendships, to build resilience and confidence as they grow. When children don't feel connected, their behavior goes off track, and that's a signal for us to help. Again, for those of you who are just coming on, this is my first time doing a teleseminar on Zoom. So if I get a little befuddled with the technology, please bear with me. So I was just talking about really four of our the core of our approach, our thinking around children and parenting. And lastly, I was going to say that we have tools where we can learn to reconnect with our children and help them to get back on track and leave that difficult behavior behind. Those tools are special time, setting limits, stay listening, and play listening. And those are our four parent to child listening tools. And then we have our parent to parent connection support tool, which is our listening partnerships. That's primarily what we're going to be talking about today, listening partnerships along with some other specific strategies to do in the moment when our kids push us over the edge. So lastly, Hand in Hand helps parents strengthen and rebuild the parent-child connection so we can feel successful as we love our kids and so our children can thrive on the love that we have for them. So that's my little introduction about Hand in Hand. I'll talk a little bit more towards the end about the resources that we have, because we're big believers in that parenting is a tough job, and we need support. You know, it's probably the only, it's the only job where you don't get any training, you don't get any breaks. You know, you certainly don't get a paid vacation. You don't get mentored. Sometimes you and your partner, you know, you could be parenting single, you could be, parenting with two households, but even if you're in a two partner household, sometimes you and your partner aren't even on the same page, which you know, you wouldn't be in a regular job. You'd have a, you know, you'd have standing operating procedures in your regular job. So we at Hand in Hand try to make that manageable for you by providing support and providing lots of resources for that support, particularly in regards to what to do when, you know, your kids push you to the edge. So that's going to be my topic for today. And as I said, I'm going to talk here for about maybe 10 or 15 minutes and then open it up for questions and hopefully answer the questions that you've brought today. So what? So I'd like to give you like a little bit of a picture of what's happening in our brains when we feel like we're at the end of our rope. For the purposes of simplicity, we're just going to talk about how the brain, there's really three, well, parts or systems to the brain. You know, we have this higher reasoning center, our prefrontal cortex. We have an emotional processing center where we process emotions, particularly process fear. We also store memories there. Then we have kind of at the base of our brain, we have our alarm center. So here's the interesting thing about memories. When they go into our brain, this is true for all human beings. But when those memories go into our brain, they go in with some feeling or some association, some feelings associated with that memory. Kind of like here's the experience and then the feelings get glommed onto it. So in hand, we like to take this big picture view that in the moment when we're feeling really tight and tense, it's not just the stuff in the moment that's affecting us, but it's actually, you know, all the other times in our lives, particularly back in childhood, when we felt powerless, when we felt hurt, when we felt disconnected, when we felt not seen or not heard, right? So Dan Siegel, in his book, Parenting from the Inside Out, talks about this, and he really does a lovely job of explaining the brain science behind this. But one of the things he says is that when something happens today, and it, you know, here's that that experience from the past and here's the feelings, right? And that experience from the past is kind of triggered, then our body responds neurologically as if we're back in that moment, like our heart rate. And, you know, we feel the same way we felt when we were small and this experience happened to us and this these feelings got glommed onto it, right? So if we take that broad perspective, that in the moment when I'm being, when I feel like I'm at the end of my rope, when my kids won't listen, when they're fighting, when, you know, there's just, you know, it's bedtime has gone on for hours, that it's sort of the feeling is magnified or exacerbated by our own early childhood experiences. Now, the good news about this is that we can take responsibility for that. We can do something about that. We can heal those feelings. We can heal those old memories so that in the moment, we have more capacity to, we have more patience, we have more capacity to listen, we have more thinking, because literally when, again, Dan Siegel uses this hand model, like here's the prefrontal cortex, here's our emotional processing center with all those memories, here's our alarm center. And when this emotional processing center, or our limbic system or nervous system gets triggered, Dan Siegel calls it like we flip our lid, like we have no access to this prefrontal cortex, like the thinking part of our brain, right? So we have this wonderful tool called listening partnerships, where you exchange listening time with another person. And in that listening time, all that person's going to do is they're just going to listen. They're not going to give advice. This is why this is like, it's like so much, so more powerful than just venting to your friend, who then's going to turn around and sort of give you advice or tell you it's not so bad, or they're going to commiserate with you. So your listening partner is just going to listen. And it's going to be like this safe space. Like they're just here holding the space and you're just dumping, you know, the current upset in here. And then and oftentimes if you let it, you know, stream of consciousness, because again, this person's not going to interrupt you, what happens is then you start to get to those early feelings like, oh yeah, I remember when my dad was screaming at my mom and I was little and I how scared I felt. So you get to those early feelings and you get to you actually, what happens is like, here's the experience, here's the feeling. And then in listening time, as I'm sharing that early experience, and again, my partner's just listening, they're just holding the thought that I'm good and that I'm going to figure this out. And what happens is that the feelings through my, like, as I'm laughing or crying or trembling or sweating, as I'm, you know, sharing these early experiences, like it literally, like the feelings release from the early experience. The early experience is still there, but now when my kids are not listening to me and I feel super disrespected and super powerless, that this early experience is not like that prickly thing, like that, like if you think like a cactus, you know, like that sticks out that you keep getting snagged on, right? So like, yes, you feel like, yes, it's frustrating that they're not listening to you, but you still, your brain still stays integrated. You don't go to that huge feeling place, like you're at the end of your rope. You can still think, you can still think well about, oh, well, how could I get playful about this? And like, okay, hand in hand tells me that kids are more willing to cooperate when they feel connected. So how can I connect with them in this moment so that we can get through this bedtime, so that we can get through, we can get out, we can get ready for school, we can get out the door. So that's the first thing I want to, you know, talk about or just offer to you is this broader perspective that in that moment when we feel like we're at the end of our rope, that it's early stuff, early hurts that are getting snagged. And that listening partnerships is this powerful way to, again, it's not that early experience is still there, but the feelings that got globbed onto it are going to, you're going to get to release. And so it's not going to be, you're not going to get caught so much in the moment. And we're all going to lose it. I mean, even, you know, I've been doing listening partnerships since my son was five, so that's like 10 years. And actually, through another, when I was not a parent, there was another form of listening partnerships that I was introduced to. So I've had a lot of years of working on my early childhood stuff and, you know, laughing, crying, shouting, you know, using listening time to yell at my dad, you know, to yell at the teacher who humiliated me, to yell at that girl in sixth grade who made fun of me on the playground. You know, like I've had a lot of opportunity to do that and still I get frustrated. I lose it. So what do you do in the moment? Especially like, you know, you're in the middle of bedtime. It's, you can't, I mean, as much as you'd like to go stop and call a listening partner, you know, it's not practical. So here's some things you can do in the moment. So number one is you can lay down. There's something about, you know, you're already feeling powerless. And so Patty calls this kind of like just giving in to what you can't control. Like in that moment, you're feeling out of control, your kids are out of control. Just laying down, it does, first of all, it does something to our nervous system where, you know, I find that, you know, if I try to keep moving and try to keep muddling through, I just get more agitated. When I lay down, not only does it shift my nervous system, but then my son gets curious. As he got older, he'd actually get embarrassed. And actually, I did this one time in the parking lot. I laid down right in front of the car. And then he was like begging me to get up. And then he started trying to pull me up. And now now we're starting to laugh, right? So completely diffuse the power struggle. And the same thing can happen, you know, sometimes your kids will get curious. or they'll want to come over and sit on your tummy, or, you know, so it can really shift you out of that place of feeling like you're going to lose it and, you know, like you're going to start screaming. So that's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do is, and this one requires a little preparation. And one of the things it's really good to do is like practice in the moments when things are good. So we have an article, and when the replay of this goes out, I'll make sure that it goes, but it's called Crazy Mad. These ideas, including laying down, are in this article. And then the article goes on to talk about how to empower your kids in that moment to assist you. Not that they're responsible for you, for your feelings, but, you know, when you're feeling out of control and you're about to lose it, they pick up on that. That adds to their anxiety. So that's how things can just really snowball. So if you practiced some ways in your family to for them to empower you when you start to lose it, then and you practice it in a light, humorous way, this is a good way for you to have what I call like an emergency fire drill. Like we do fire drills, or you know, maybe you do them in your home, your kids certainly do them in school. And so you want to have an emotional fire drill. So some things you might do is you might put a list of numbers on the fridge that your child can call when you start to lose it. And there's a mom who actually did this, and her mom and her daughter picked up the phone, called her friend and said, "Mom needs to talk to you," and handed the phone to her mom. And I think it was one of her listening partners. So, you know, you can practice that. Like, you know, like we teach our kids to dial 911. This is like an emotional 911. So that's one thing, is that you empower them to reach out to a friend who can then, you know, give you like 30 seconds of listening time. You make signs again in a good time that are like, that say, "I love you, mommy, I love you." And so, you know, so you practice this emotional fire drill that when you start, you know, you pretend over dramatically, you're going to lose it. You know, you're very silly. You're very, you know, like you're falling down, you're doing pratfalls, you're walking to the wall, but it's like, it's a, you know, in a very lighthearted way, you're practicing. I mean, you're demonstrating that you're going to lose it. And you say, "Okay, show me the sign." And so then your kid holds up the sign that says, "Mommy, I love you." So, you know, that's another way to empower them. A third way to empower them is something that you, like there's a lot of parents that report that like going in and having a, you know, plastic baseball bat or taking pillows and like pounding on the bed, you know, to really motor out those feelings, it is a, you know, and get those feelings out of you. It is a good way to stop you being ramped up. It's a good release. It's a physical release. It isn't actually healing. It doesn't heal that, you know, the little old hurt that got triggered, but it is a release in the moment. And so again, in a very lighthearted, dramatic way, you say, "Okay, this is what we're going to do when mommy starts to get mad or daddy starts to get mad. You know, I'm going to go in the bedroom and I'm going to pound on the pillows and I'm going to," and so you do this again in a very lighthearted, like when you start to pound on the pillow, but maybe you fall on the floor, you know, so you get some, a lot of laughter going around it. The reason for getting the laughter going around it is that you are talking about a serious subject, you know, mommy or daddy getting angry and starting to yell, but you're doing it in a very, lighthearted way so that any tension, anxiety that they're already feeling from maybe when you got upset in the past, they're releasing so that in the moment when you actually do get angry, they can still think, you know, you've practiced this. You've practiced this in a very lighthearted, fun way, a very connected way. And so in the moment of when you really do get upset, then then they can still think long enough to go like, mommy, go hit the pillows. Mommy, go hit the bed. No. So these are some ideas. You know, there's some, you know, everybody has some good ways of kind of snapping themselves out of it. A couple of other things I'll throw out there is, you know, going in the bathroom and splashing water on your face, trying to drink water backwards, see if you can give yourself a case of the hiccups, going into the bathroom and using the mirror as a listening partner, and just saying to the listening partner, you know, like, I can't do this, the mirror, you know, for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. There are things that you can discover about yourself. And again, the best way to do this is in when it's good and you're just lightheartedly practicing. I encourage you to discover what those things are for yourself. I think that's primarily what I wanted to talk about in terms of when your kids push you over the edge. There's lots more to talk about around it, but I thought I would end there and just open it up for questions. And let's see if I can figure out how to do this. So I'm opening up. Oh, so I think you can raise your hand if you have a question, and I can actually, I'm going to open up the chat so you can, type a question if you're on your computer. If you have called in, or even if you're on your computer and you can use audio, I think you can raise your hand and then I can, talk to you. So let's see. Oops. Nope. I don't want to do that. Sorry. Q&A. Does anybody, somebody raised their hand. So let's see how I do this. Ah, allowed to talk. Okay, Lee.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How exciting. Modern technology.
I guess I was wondering kind of what your thoughts on or how to go about, like, I have a 4-year-old son and a baby, but when there is a moment where I do get, I kind of lose it, like afterwards that's happened, like, how do you communicate to your kid that, like, it's not their fault or kind of explain what happened, or do you even think that's necessary, or kind of just like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So great question. I think yes, you can absolutely apologize. I think, you know, that's a good practice to start in a family. You know, I'm sorry, mommy lost it. I'm sorry, I yelled. It wasn't your fault. But since the experience of you getting angry went in on a nonverbal level, it like went into their emotional processing system, into their nervous system, you want to also work with it nonverbally. So you want to then offer special time where they're the one in control and you are, so for anybody new, if you don't know what special time is, so special time is one-on-one undivided attention. It's for a finite amount of time, so you set a timer. It is possible. It's not quite as potent, but you could do this with babe in arms, because you're following his lead, him, right? You're older as a boy.
Yeah.
You know, you're following his lead for 5 minutes. He gets to do whatever he wants. When you put yourself in a less powerful role for that finite amount of time, you're not going to answer the phone. Let's see if I tick off the undivided attention, one-on-one. You follow their lead. You try to say yes to whatever they want within safety and financial and time constraints. You know, if they want to go to Disneyland, you can't do that in 10 minutes kind of thing. And you know, you're not going to answer the phone. You're going to give them your undivided attention. Yeah. So those, for anybody new, those are the elements of special time. But the idea of you taking the less powerful role and giving him the power for that 5 or 7 minutes where you just delight in him, that helps counter some of the fear that went in when you got angry. Mm-hmm. You know, on a nonverbal level. The other way you can do it is by offering rough and tumble where he gets to get you. Like it only takes like he just touches you and you fall over. Mm-hmm. And there's an article on our website called 3 Ways to Connect with Your Older Child. I'll make sure that goes out. But there's some great games in there that you can play with babe in arms, like where you sit. So how old's your younger?
9 months.
9 months, yeah. So you could sit on the bed with the younger in your arms and he gets to push you back or push you over, you know, so you're safe. You got the babe in arms, or he gets to jump over you. So there are some games you can play with babes in arms, but if you can give him some rough and tumble where you're going to take the less powerful role, mm-hmm. because two of the best ways to help a kid release fear are through laughter and physical play where they get to get you. So yes, it's great to apologize and just know that since it went in on a nonverbal level to help release it through special time and rough and tumble are really going to help him feel safe and connected again. Does that make sense?
It does. Do you think it's important to do it like as quickly as possible after the event happened?
Yeah, I do. And then the other thing to look for is that because fear can drive off-track behavior, is that you might, you know, after you get upset, he might be, you know, like cowed for a little while, but then you might start to see some off-track behavior. And just know that if you bring a warm limit and you listen to his feelings, that again, it's his limbic system's natural way of releasing any of the fear that went in. You know, just like the kid who goes too fast down the slide and they go whomp and they hit the back of their head. That child who's allowed to cry, you know, that little fear that went in, they just release it. And then often that's the kid that goes right back up on the slide. Mm-hmm. So you might, you know, look for those moments as well. But, and then of course, the other piece of this is, you know, we want to then take our guilt to listening time mm-hmm. so that, you know, we're not looking to our little one for forgiveness. That's an inside job. We want to do that for ourselves. And so a listening partner can really help with, you know, us, you know, as I said, like they're just listening. They are holding the truth that you are good and you are already forgiven. Like, you know, you did nothing wrong, but then you get to, you know, just dump your guilt there and you get to forgive yourself there in listening time. So does that make sense?
That does. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. All right. So so Gina asked a question here. When talking to listening partners, I can't seem to get feelings out. Any ideas how to do this? Oh, yes. This is one of my favorite subjects. I told you I'm a co-moderator of the Parent Club. In the Parent Club, I created a post called How to Get to Feelings that's got a list. So here's my recommendations. So first of all, you need to make sure that your listening partnership, your time is really protected, that in that listening partnership, your partner is following the guidelines of not interrupting, no advice, no commiserating, and it's great if you can also, like, even if you're doing listening time, your partnership with a friend, that when you're doing listening time, that is away from any other socializing that you do. So that creates more safety in your listening partnership. You have to feel safe. You have to be able to presume safety in a listening partnership in order to get to feelings. And that's why sometimes as as counterintuitive as it sounds, it's sometimes easier to do a listing partnership with somebody with whom you have no history. Like, you're not friends. You're not going to see them in the preschool drop-off line. You know, you're not going to see them at mom's club book club, mom's club book club meeting. So that's the first thing, is to make sure that you're following the guidelines, and so that there is safety. Then here's my recommendations. Make sure you're in a place, a private place, where you can make a lot of noise and you can move around. I'm now in a living situation where I have to do listening time in my car, and I miss being able to move around. One of the things that really helped me was I would bend over, and when I would release my lower back, feelings would come. I don't know why, but it just, you know. So be putting yourself in a private place where you can make a lot of noise and move is ideal. Now, you know, there may be those times where you're trying to get like 5 minutes of listening time and your kids are in the other room. Like, that's different. I'm just talking about like, you know, for a regular, like, ongoing listening partnership, it's great to try to get that privacy and be able to move. Then you can start with what's happening today, but try to get to like what's underneath that. So some good questions to ask yourself are, does this remind me of anything? Our mantra is work early. So does this remind me of anything? Does, you know, and I tend to think in pictures. So often like a picture or sort of a image, I don't know if it actually happened. So I was talking earlier about like, work, you know, like this picture came, this image popped into my mind this one time of my mom was holding me in her arms. So, you know, let's say I was maybe under a year and my dad was screaming at my mom. Now, we don't have that kind of memory, like memory with a time date stamp on it, until we're about somewhere around a year and a half to 3 years old. That's the hippocampus that controls that. So I probably don't have that actual memory, but given my childhood, that's probably a likely scenario. But how interesting that picture popped into my mind. So kind of allow yourself stream of consciousness to just whatever comes up. Along with that, skip the details. Skip the details. Your partner doesn't need to know. Your partner is holding the space and holding this mantra. You're good. Everybody you're talking about is good. You're going to figure it out. That's their job. And I say to new partners, I say the less you talk, the better. Because if they're asking me questions or giving me directions, sometimes that interrupts my process. So everybody's different. Some people like a little bit of a prompt, like, well, does this remind you of anything? What's underneath this? Some people like that little prompt. I've been doing this so long that that interrupts my process. So if I find myself like telling the whole story of the details, I'm like, I'm tap dancing around the feelings here. So I try to get right to like, what's underneath this? What does this remind me of? And work early. And then sometimes I just make sounds. Like that, like, gets me out of my head, drops me into my feelings. Those are some of the ways I get to feelings. Some other things you can do. Sometimes it works really well to start with what's going well. Like, sometimes if you're stuck in the venting, like, see what happens if you start with like what's going well. And sometimes that can open you up. Laughter is a really I can't remember what, like, oftentimes like the odd things will pop into my mind. Like, I remember like this phrase, like, queen for a day popped into my mind. I don't even remember what I was working on, but that was an old commercial from the 50s where you got a new washer and dryer, you were queen for the day or something like that. That popped into my mind and I started to laugh and then I started to cry. So remember that laughter is also the release of feelings. So it's laughter, tears, trembling, sweating, yawning. So laughter can also be a way to get, you know, just think, you know, the absurdity. One time I got to a great place with all of the things I was imagining I was going to do to my son to make him into a Stepford child, to make him into this obedient child. I was going to try hypnosis. I was going to duct tape him. I just started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And I don't know if I ever got to tears in that listening session, but it certainly did release a lot of the tension that I was feeling. So I hope, Jean, I hope that gives you some ideas. Oh, I'll say one other thing. And that is that it's good to save a few minutes of your, let me back up, because you can use this almost at any time to get to feelings. So sometimes a good way to get to feelings, and also a good way to heal some feelings, is to do what we call countering, which is where you stand on your own two feet and you get to blast the people that inadvertently, we'll presume their goodness, hurt you when you were small. So, you know, I recommend like doing ninja kicks, like hi-ya, hi-ya, you know, and imagine punching them in the nose. Now, remember, you don't have to be nice in your listening time because your partner is holding the truth that they did the best they could in the moment. And what's really powerful about that is you don't have to do that thing that we do in normal conversation where you flip back and forth, where you go, it makes me mad, they're doing blah, 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 blah. But I can understand how they might be the, you know, you don't have to do that thing where you flip back and forth where you like see their point of view or you apologize for your feelings. You know, your partner's going to hold the truth that whoever you're talking about was doing the best they could in the moment. So you get to blast them. You get to imagine punching them in the nose. Pick up pillows and bang, you know, punch the pillow. And, you know, it's not that in and of itself is not healing, but sometimes standing up for ourselves can break us open and lead to those deeper feelings of sadness and grief and hurt and fear. Those are all some of the ways that I have found that it's really powerful to get to feelings. So, Gina, I hope that helps. Let's see. Who else? How do I do this? Any other questions? Let me scroll down here and see if there's any other. Oops. Okay. Any thoughts, any feedbacks, anything you want to? Want me to talk more about? Oh, there it is. Okay. Anybody? Let's see. Lee, did you raise your hand again? Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah.
So the other thing, it kind of goes in the same thing, but when you start feeling like you're losing, like you can feel that pressure mounting.
Yep.
I'm gonna try the lying on the floor thing. But what I've done, and I'm wondering if you think this isn't a good plan, or again, I tried to communicate something to my son, and I'm seeing now that words are not the way to go. But I'd say something like, I'm getting frustrated, or something like, I'm sorry, buddy, I'm getting really frustrated, I'm gonna need a minute, or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that okay to? Does that communicate anything, or yeah, I guess you think just stay physical, like lay on the ground or?
So it's a great question, Lee, because I think we want to make it okay for people in our family to have feelings in an unthreatening, non-scary way. So, This is great because it gets me brainstorming about some more things you can do in the moment. So, so you start to feel frustrated, right? So what if you then started to do your own, like, oh, I'm going to shake out these crabbies. Like, you started to be light and playful. Oops, let me see. Sorry, I lost my microphone. So if you started to be light and playful with yourself, then you're modeling for your son that the way that when we get frustrated, one of the ways that we can handle that frustration is to get playful, is that we can dance our crabbies out. We can shake our crabbies out. We can put on music. We can put on, and this is going to really help you, like when he's struggling, you know, that you're starting these practices in your family where, you know, when we're having a tough time, we do things that are playful and connecting. Mm-hmm. And this, you know, so what this requires is giving up the right, like, okay, so yes, it's understandable that we lose it, but we wanna give up the right to get angry, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you make this choice that you start to feel the pressure build. So you're going to do something silly or goofy that's going to get you laughing. Because again, laughter is the release of tension. Laughter is the release of fear, of light fears. Laughter is connecting. Laughter creates safety. So, It's a great way of creating this practice in your family where there's some silly things that you do. One of the things that we talk about in the Parent Club a lot, and we've actually created like a whole list for people to put their ideas, is something called mock threats. So your kid, you know, your child won't do something. You're starting to feel the frustration build. So you put your frustration right into the mock threat, which is like, oh, you know what? If you don't brush your teeth, I'm gonna have to turn you upside down and kiss your ears. Mm-hmm. If you don't get dressed, I'm gonna start making stinky farts in this room, and then we're gonna have to run to school naked. You know. So again, you know. We've got a whole list of them. We created a whole post. It's like, okay, what are your favorite mock threats? You know, and there's one mom who even posted that, like, now her son asks for the mock threats, you know, because one of her mock threats is like, you know, I'm going to have to pick you up by your ears and carry you. So, you know, she starts to get frustrated. He sees that she's frustrated and he says, you know, oh, you better pick me up by my ears. You know, so she scoops him up and you know, so let me just speak for a minute to that, this idea of like, whoa, but then aren't we rewarding the bad behavior? You know, aren't we being inauthentic because, you know, they're doing something that is quote unquote making us angry. So I want to go back again to that. So two things. One is let's go back to the broader perspective of in that moment, our own childhood hurts and powerlessness, feelings of powerlessness are being re-stimulated. Our child is not making us feel anything. And secondly, that as opposed to quote unquote rewarding the bad behavior, we're embracing the idea that children are willing to cooperate, human beings are willing to cooperate when they feel connected. If they're not cooperating, it means that they can't think. It means that their hurts or their feelings of disconnection or their, you know, limbic system, their emotional processing center is running the show and they don't have any access to the thinking part of their brain. As soon as we get playful and there's some laughter, this happens. Their brain reintegrates and they can think. So, it's not a matter of quote unquote rewarding the bad behavior. It's understanding how the human brain works and how relationships work and how human beings actually our default is to co-regulate rather than to self-regulate. I mean, yes, we learn self-regulating skills, but we're wired actually to co-regulate. So in that moment of our own frustration, if we can get playful, if we can put our frustration into something like a mock threat, where we get laughter going, now we're connected, now our child can co-regulate, now our child can think. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Cool, awesome. Great question. Let's see, anybody else have any questions? Oh, wait a minute, here we go. Somebody, there's a question here in the chat. Great, okay. So my daughter, with whom I've lost it quite a few times, who I do special time regularly, does not release the fear she surely has stored inside. She rarely cries. She did once a couple of days ago, and I was happy, if I may say so, but she only began to release some tension, and that was such a rare occasion. She's a joyful child, laughs quite a bit, but what about all this accumulated tension and fear? Seems that she barely started to release some of it. Great question. So first of all, I want to reassure you that laughter is the release of fear. So, and caution you that whenever we get an agenda that our child needs to cry, and I'm going to sort of talk out of both sides of my mouth here, because definitely our tool of setting limits, where we bring a warm limit and they bump up against it and they have a tantrum, the intention of bringing that warm limit is to help them release the feeling so that they can think, and then they can change their behavior. Rather than bringing the limit as a consequence or a punishment, we're bringing the warm limit so that they can bump up against it and have some feelings. But even in that setting limits tool, our primary intention is connection rather than, I'm bringing this limit so you can have a good cry. Because as soon as we get tight about the fact that we think they need to cry, that actually erodes the safety. So it's kind of an advanced nuance that I'm sharing with you all around that tool of setting limits. But you can, I just want to, let's see, did it say who posted this? Sabine. We assure you, Sabine, that that, you know, laughter is the release of fear. And that that if you put your intention into lots of, especially lots of physical play, lots of rough and tumble, where you take the less powerful role and she gets to power over you, then you're countering any of those times when you lost it. She is releasing the fear. She is feeling powerful. When you take the starter class, which I hope all of you will do, in fact, I'm leading a starter class that starts in July, Wednesday, July 10th at noon Pacific, which is 8 UK. There's not any time changes in there. If you take the starter class, there's this great video where this dad's doing special time, and you can see that his daughter is working on fear, because she keeps pushing for riskier and riskier physical play, to where the point where she's holding on to the back of his pants and he's like running around the room like that kind of snap the whip. If you ever played snap the whip when you were a kid, like she's being whipped around and she's laughing and laughing, and she's, you know, that laughter is the release of fear. So if you put your focus on physical play, where she gets to power over you, and creating this culture in your family where, like, you are silly, like you are the bumbling one, like things like you walk into walls, she asks you for orange juice and you hand her the pickle jar and you're completely befuddled, like, well, how did that happen? You know, it's time to leave and you walk into the closet. You get up in the morning and you put your underwear on your head. Now you come and you wake her up and you've got your underwear on your head. And it's an underwear wearing head day, you know? So you create this culture of laughter by you being the bumbling, like Larry Cohen in his book, Playful Parenting, calls it you being the village idiot. If you're not a playful parent, We've got a great article on the website called What If I'm Not a Playful Parent? And there's 25 ideas. My favorite is to feed your funny. And, you know, watch old videos of Dick Van Dyke and Lucille Ball and the original Three Stooges and see how they made fun of themselves. The laughter was in them making fun of themselves. So the more, you know, you literally counter any times when you've lost it by creating this culture where you are the, you know, you're making fun of yourself. You're being the silly one. You're the one who can't figure it out. You're the bumbling one. That culture in your family is good for so many things. It's good for working on fear. It's good for perfectionism. It's good for separation anxiety. It's good for aggression. It's just, you know, because the good news is that fear is fear is fear is fear is fear is fear is fear. So, you know, when we're creating laughter in our homes, then, you know, the fear that's being released will, you'll show up in all different areas of maybe bedtime will get a little easier. Maybe leaving the house in the morning will get a little bit easier, you know. Great. Oh, good, Sabine. I'm glad that was helpful. Okay. So any last minute burning questions before I wrap up here, or any thoughts? Before I do my little, okay. So I mentioned, let me talk about resources. Yes. So, of course we have our wonderful handinhandparenting.org website where there's all kinds of articles. There's articles on listing partnerships in particular. I've mentioned a few of the articles today. There's all kinds of articles on playing in different situations. One of our instructors, Kate Orson, has done a wonderful job of creating these different lists. So tips for getting out of the house in the morning, 20 ways to heal, playful ways to heal separation anxiety, 20 playful ways to heal anxiety, aggression, 15 playful ways to intervene playfully with sibling rivalry. So there's all kinds of, you know, how to be playful around teeth brushing. There's all kinds of great ideas on how to be playful on our website. We have a Facebook group called Hand in Hand Parent Connect. It is a free Facebook group where you can connect with other Hand in Hand parents. That group is primarily for people who are just discovering Hand in Hand, because we do a lot of posting of the basics of what the tools are. In terms of learning, like really some of the nuances that I shared with you today, there's a couple of ways to get that. Actually three. One is the Parent Club, which is a monthly membership program. Oh, the Parent Club is just, for so many parents, they've said, wow, this is a game changer. Because you get in that Parent Club, it's a private Facebook group, you get pretty much coaching on demand. It's myself and Emily Gray Murray, we really try to get back to you. Unless your post slips down the timeline and we missed it, we really try to get back to you within a few hours. Coaching you on your specific situation and how to use the tools specifically in that situation. How to get to specific issues that you're struggling with in listening time. So you get that daily nuanced coaching. You get a weekly Q&A with an instructor. You get a weekly instructional email that's got a video and an article attached to it. And we kind of focus on whatever that is. This week, the focus was a step-by-step plan for handling aggression. Next week, I think it's going to be a step-by-step plan for sibling rivalry. So you get that weekly instruction. You also get monthly access to Patty. Patty does a Facebook Live every month in our private Facebook group. You get the 25% off all of our products, and in particular, 25% off our starter class, which is the next way to kind of take these tools to the next level for yourself. Let me also say that Parent Club is a great place to find listening partners, because the parents there are really working hard on healing their childhood stuff so that they can really think well on using these tools in their family and really helping them, really being leaders, what I call the CEO or the chief emotional officer of your family. So the Parent Club is also a great place to get listening partners, is to, you know, pair up with people who are really doing this work well. Excuse me. And then you get 25% off the starter class, which again, the starter class is the next way to really take using these tools to the next level. It's a 6-week online course. We do have instructors that offer the courses locally. So there is a place on our website. If you go up to the top, the very top, under who we are, and you look for certified instructors, let me tell you an easier way. Go to calendar. If you go to the calendar, and you look under, we have online classes, and then we have in-person classes. There may very well be an in-person starter class in your area, but the online class, the starter class in general is 6 weeks. When you do it online, you watch the videos, the instructional videos, so you get Patty every week. Then you get a weekly support call with an instructor who then coaches you on the tool. You focus on one tool each week. And you also get listening time. So again, it's a great place to like, I'm gonna take a starter class so that I can jump in and get into this practice of listening partnerships. And then the last way would be a one-on-one private consultation with an instructor. And as I told you, that's how I got into Hand in Hand, where I was, I got a consultation with Patty, and that's what really, as I say, changed my parenting, changed my relationship with my kid, and changed my life. So those are all our resources. Of course, our newsletter, I hope you're all signed up for our newsletter, because that's also got a lot of tips in it every week. And let me see what else. So here's what I'm supposed to say. So thank you very much for joining me today. And I already told you all of the resources about going to handinhandparenting.org. Sorry, this is what I'm supposed to say. I'm supposed to recommend the self-guided course Listening Partnerships, which is amazing. We have five different self-guided video courses, sibling rivalry, separation, aggression, setting limits, sleep, six, and Listening Partnerships. I highly recommend, particularly for this subject of what to do when your kids push you over the edge, is the Listening Partnership self-guided video course. Again, if you join the Parent Club, it's 25% off. And we're also giving you some of those videos in our weekly instructional email. But it really, it's an amazing way to really learn to heal all of those triggers that get triggered when our kids are having a tough time. And really, that's the way to think about it. Like, they're having a tough time, and that triggers, you know, some early stuff in us, and now we're having a tough time. So now we get two people having a tough time. So the Listening Partnership course is a great way to heal all of our stuff, so that when they're having a tough time, we don't get triggered that way. And again, I mentioned my starter class that's happening July 10th at noon. It's a Wednesday. It'll be for 6 Wednesdays. Great time to take it in the summer when, you know, your kids are home a lot. Of course, if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, it's still a school. Last thing I want to just mention again is that Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and with everything we send out and on our web on our website, there is a donate button. So, you know, if you've gotten value from this today, we hope you will donate, because your donation then supports doing more of these free Zoom teleseminars or webinars. And also, you know, we have scholarships that we can offer to parents. So your donation really supports a whole lot of parents. And then I think just lastly, we're going to send you a link to the course. and a copy of this talk. And again, I just really, I want to thank you, and I want to appreciate you for carving out the time to be here. And also those of you who are listening to this, we are so hand in hand. We are so proud of you. We are inspired by you for all the work that you're doing to get the support for yourself and your family. And you all are just doing a great job. So thanks again for being here. And hopefully we'll see you in the Parent Club or on the next webinar. All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Have a great day. Or if you're heading to bed, sweet dreams. Bye.